So, as we are approaching Matan Torah, and then we're going to be in Mirat Hashem learning together. Shalom Aleichem, David. Are you in class? Very impressive. Ah, Tzvi has arisen. So, as we're starting our what's going on, our I guess ascent towards Matan Torah and Shavuos, the Chag of Matan Torah. Even though we're all very aware that it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah that Shavuos is the day we got the Torah, but if you do a quick math, that's what Gemara Menachos does for us, so we know that's when we got the Torah. So I thought it would be appropriate, based on your votes, that we could delve into and explore some of what we received at Matan Torah, and obviously focus in on the Aseret HaDibros. I figure we start with the first of the Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Even though maybe it would have been smart to start with a general overview of Aseret HaDibros. That's probably what we should have done. Seder, when we finish Anochi, we'll go back to the general overview. Sounds good? Or should we go to the general overview? I don't really care. You guys already have the source sheets. Let's just start. Okay, so source number one. Source number one, ready? So the Rebbe Elokim is called the Rebbe Ma'ila Limor, Anochi Shem Elokecha, Asher Hoteitzelecha Me'eretz Yitzrayim, Bi'is Avadim. So you'll notice that in the first, I guess, mitzvah, or the first of the Aseret HaDibros, we have two of the Dibros contained within one. The second Dibro goes on for a couple of psukim afterwards. You can look it up in your own Chumashim. But we start off with the Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoteitzelecha Me'eretz Yitzrayim. There's a lot to discuss when it comes to this, obviously, such as the emphasis of Yitzis Mitzrayim. Why is that there? Right? Meaning, why don't we just say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Who cares about Asher Hoteitzelecha Me'eretz Yitzrayim? Why is that a necessary component of our discussion when it comes to Emunah BaHashem? That's point number one. Okay? That's something to think about. These are all just things that we should be thinking when we actually go through the Psukim. Point number two, Anochi is uniquely formulated. Why? Anybody have any ideas? Why is Anochi the most unique of the Aseret HaDibros? Excellent, it's not a command, right? It's a statement of fact. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Lo Yia is a command, right? And the rest of them as well. Lo Sisa, Zachar. These are all commands. Kaved, right? Lo Tirtzach, all the lows. Those are all commands. Anochi is not a command. Rather, it's just a statement of fact. Okay, couple of things to keep in mind as we're going through some of these source sheets. So let's see what Rashi has to say on it. Sheret Tzitzicha Me'eretz Yitzrayim, says Rashi in source number two. Kedai hi hotza shetiu mishubadim li. So point number one that Rashi makes, and it's something that we should focus on, that even etzem the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, that would be a good enough reason in order for us to be mishubad to the Ribono Sholom. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, my speaker's not working, correct? You hear me or no?
Yeah, I can.
No, okay. Gotta love Zoom.
But now it's been here. That's a little better.
One second. Okay. Good? Now we're better. Okay. Anyways, so for the first point that Rashi says is, once again, that etzem the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of, the dire situation that we were in, then that would be enough to be indebted to him, which is important. It's important yisod. If somebody does something for you, then that is an achrayis on you to be makir tov, and to try to repay that debt. So point number one of Asher Tzitzcha Me'eretz Yitzrayim is that that's a reason to be meshubet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that's why it's there. Devar Acher says Rafi, it says Rashi, Lefi shenigala b'yam ki gibor milchama, v'nigala kan ki zaken mali rachamim. So Rashi points out something very interesting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there are certain times where the appearance of God is different. Now, we don't really think about this because we just think of general terms of Hashem, and we'll talk about this in a moment, especially when we get up to source number 3, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Alef Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, but we have a very unsophisticated view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would imagine most of us do. What I mean by that is that, you know, we just hear of the concept of Hashem, and like Hashem is Hashem, and we don't realize otherwise. And like we need we need one of the Pirushim before learning Chumash to point out to us, by the way, you know, this time it says Hashem, this time it says Kael, this time it says Elohim. Right? We don't even pay attention to the different names of Hashem. Yudke Vavke, Shakai, right? So what Rashi's pointing out is that God has different names, and you know, and what those names signify are certain ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting with us, with human beings. Now, God doesn't just have different names, there's also certain ways that we experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, as he was saying, over here at Matan Torah, he's like a Zaken Malei Rachamim. He's like this old, you know, loving Zaidi, filled with Rachamim and the mercy, who's giving over this precious gift of the Torah, bequeathing the most important gift that, you know, was known to mankind, to his children, to Am Yisrael. But at the same time, when we're on, you know, fleeing the Mitzrim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared as a Gibor Melchama when it came to the Yam, right? That he was constantly hitting the Mitzrim with Makos. If you don't believe me, you know, look at the end of Magid, right? Kama Makos. You know, how many Makos did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit the Mitzrim with Al Hayam? Okay, many, many, many Makos. So the point being is, Chas V'Shalom, you should assume that those are two different, you know, Rishuyos, as Rashi goes on to say. Havin Mishana B'maros Al Tom Rashi Rishuyosain Anochi Hu Asher Tzitchamir Tzitchayim Al Hayam. So the point is that never have that, God forbid, misinterpretation that just because we experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways, that means that there are Chas V'Shalom two HaKadosh Baruch Hus, and that was something very important to keep in mind right here and right now. Okay, it's actually reminds me of it's a great vart I heard from our very dear Rav Ari Khan. I think I heard it a long time ago that when it came to the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that, actually, this is a separate point. It's about a discussion about the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, well, maybe we'll come back to that at a different point. But basically, this is the notion of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? The point being is that just because there's Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Elokeinu, which is a different midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem Echad, that's like really the declaration of Shema. That Yudke Vavke, which is Midas Harachamim, look at Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, and Elokim, which is Midas Adin, that's really one God, and therefore we shouldn't confuse them. That's really what Rashi is just echoing over here in more detail. Davar Acher, says Rashi, Lefisha Ayu Shomun Kolos Harbe, they heard many different voices. Shenemar Sakolos Kolos Ban Me'ar Baruchos, Umin HaShemayim, Umin HaArtz, Al Tomer Rosh Yus Harbe, saying, okay, same similar idea, just because there were many sounds going on at Matan Torah doesn't mean that they're different, you know, entities over there. Okay, I think we'll go on to the next Rashi, Mibes Avadim. Why don't we mention the Mibes Avadim? Mibes Paro, Shayisim Avadim Li, O Enu Omer Ela Mibes Avadim, Shayu Avadim Lavadim, Tamil Omar, Vivtacha Mibes Avadim, Miad Paro, Miad Melech Mitzrayim, Emer Mayata Avadim Lamelchayu, Fulo Avadim Lavadim. The point of why we mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Eretz Yisrael is because there's a chus that is, you know, implied over here. We used to be avadim to avadim, and now with our freedom, with our chayrus, we've achieved a greater status of avadim to the Ribono Shelam, which is obviously much more preferable and something that we're, you know, obviously focused on. And that is why we mentioned it there, that our freedom was, as we would say, not freedom from Avdus, but freedom to Avdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the discuss that we had, and that's why we mention it. Don't think that we just left Mitzrayim for the sake of leaving Mitzrayim. Left Mitzrayim in order that we could become the best Ovdei Hashem we could possibly be. So that's one element when it comes to our understanding of Yetzias Mitzrayim and its role within the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Another idea, let's see what the Sefer Chinuch has to say. Always a great place to look when you want to compile, you know, Tamei Mitzvos. So obviously he says, Mitzvos Hamuna B'Mitzias Hashem Yisbarach. Let's go to the bottom part with its underlined Asher Amar Asher Tzitzcha Lomar Shalom Yifta Levavchem Lekachas Inyin Tzitzcha Me'avdus Mitzrayim Umakos HaMitzrayim Derech Mikra. The reason why we mention these Yetzias Mitzrayim is in order to strengthen our emunah. I mean, it really goes hand in hand. It's not good enough to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you also have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, right? And therefore, chas v'shalom, you should not take what happened in Mitzrayim b'derech mikra. Now, this sounds absurd to us because we read the psukim and we saw that Hashem was, you know, pulling the strings, so to speak, for Moshe Rabbeinu and completely involved. But think of Am Yisrael's perspective, right? This is the craziest part about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Imagine you weren't part of that conversation. Like, you weren't in Paro's inner chamber. You weren't hanging out with Moshe and Aaron the entire time, right? There's over 600,000 male Jews, so over 2 million Jews there, right? They say 2 million, 2.5 million roughly, who are experiencing Sheba and Mitzrayim. Not all of them were Zocha to have conversations with Moshe and Aaron. And therefore, what they're seeing, you know, unfold before them is certainly miraculous. But is it miraculous to the point of belief in the Ribono Shalom? And that is something which is suspect to, you know, people's Bechira. Whether you want to believe, whether you want to choose to believe or not. In fact, I think there are some Mefarshim who actually try to rationalize all the Makos. I don't remember them offhand who does them. But they say, well, Dan may have just been clay that entered or, you know, polluted the sea, or like, let's say a big sea creature died, and then it polluted the Yarden, and then what automatically happens if the Yarden is polluted? So what's going to happen? Then the Nile. Then what's going to the Nilos? What's going to happen? Then all the frogs are naturally going to drop out, and that
they're definitely not fans of Midrashim, of like the cups turning to water.
Yeah, 1,000% of it. Yes, correct. It has nothing to do with the Midrashim. Obviously, the Midrashim go... This is important to be aware of. The goal of the Midrash, generally speaking, is to make things as miraculous or as exaggerated. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, the point is to drive home a certain message, but to make it as over the top as possible. Yes? I think, as you kids would say, extra. Yes? That's what a Midrash is all about. So... It may not say it in the psukim, anything about, you know, the Mitzri and the Jew drinking from one cup with, you know, two separate straws, but like the Medrash will have that. It just says that there was Dam in all Mitzrayim. In fact, it may not even distinguish between the Makos affecting the Jews versus not Jews up until, I don't know, it was the third or fourth Mak, I don't remember exactly where in the psukim, but the Midrashim will go out of its way to say, you know, it never hit Goshen, it never hit the Jews. Meaning, but it doesn't even say that in the psukim itself. So, correct, it's not going with the psukim. But if you want to go with a rationalistic view of things, so listen, a person could choose that they don't want to believe whatever they want. So, therefore, the purpose of Asher Tzeitcha Me'er Tzitzrayim is for you to recognize that was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, Makos Amitzin Derech Mikra, Eladau Shanochi Hushu Tzitzi Yitzchan Mechifetz, Vashkacha, Komosher Tzitzcha, Vasina Avri Tzvi Yaakov. This is a Kiyam in the Brisman of Besarim, in the covenant with Avri Yitzchan Yaakov. And that's something that we need to recognize going forward. So that is what the Sefer HaChinuch says, which is important. Yisod. And maybe, by the way, maybe that is the reason why, you know, something to think about. Why does the Baal Haggadah make such a big deal about, you know, Makas Bechoros being done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Anivel Malach, Anivel Saraf, yes? I don't know, I was reading it and I was thinking to myself, was it all, Dam was just as miraculous? No? What about Barad? That was pretty cool. No? All these things are all from the Ribono Shalom, but the point is that the reason why we go out of our way to say that was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is because, you know, something, people dying in the middle of the night may be B'derech Mikra, if you want to believe that. And therefore, it's important to say that, no, that was really the Ribono Shalom, which is very similar to what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying. Okay, source number 3A, because I messed up my source sheets, and I was too lazy to retype the numbers. Okay, source number 3A is the famous Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, B'shasha machnisin adam ledina omrim lo. Right, when a person dies after Meiv Asrim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell them something. Nasat v'sat v'emunah. Which means, did you deal honestly with business? Kavata itam Torah? Did you set aside time for Torah? Sakta peririvya? Did you try to be mekayim peririvo? Tipisi leyeshua? Were you mitzap leyeshua? Papalta bechachma? Avata davar mitoch davar? Okay, you know, did you involve yourself in certain chachmas and try to understand things to the best of your ability? Now, Nesata Nesata Be'amuna is, like I just pointed out, is classically translated in, did you masa umatan? Did you have a back and forth? Did you deal honestly with your business dealings? Did you pay your taxes? Did you cheat people? Were you involved in ona, nastavarim, ginevas das? Were you involved in all these things? And that's the basic understanding. However, the Gra on this Gemara Masechet Shabbos says something very beautiful. He says, no, nasat v'sat emuna, translated literally, did you have a back and forth be'emuna, in emuna? Did you have a back and forth? Did you have a give and take in emuna? Did you investigate your emuna? Or did you leave it as is? And these are really important you saw from the Gra. Like I said, mentioning before, many of us have a very, elementary view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We heard about God, and, God is something that we accepted at some point or another. And, maybe we had one of those fake rebellious stages in high school that we really hated ourselves, so we pretend to blame it on Hashem. And then eventually we got mature, so we say, okay, we're not going to blame God because now we really like ourselves, so now we're out of that angry stage. So then we go back to our belief of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's the same basic view of God as we had previously. According to the Gra, that's not good enough. What we need to do is try our best to invest in our emunah, to strengthen it, to understand exactly what it means to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, obviously not to the fullest extent, but at least have a back and forth, a give and take about what are our obligations vis-a-vis our emunah. That's why I think this is certainly a very important thing for us to be doing going forward. Quick question for everybody. This is officially supposed to end at 30. I'm more than happy to go till the end of the Zoom. You tell me. End of Zoom? Those who need to jump out at 11:30, you let me know, okay? Kavaldik. So let's go forward. Okay, source number four is the Rambam. It's a very important Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah gives us a pretty, good background as to what are the... gives us a pretty good background into how Avodah Zarah really came to be. Now, why is that a good question about how Avodah Zarah came to be? Because if you think about it, there are only how many generations between Noach and Avinu? Avinu? 10. Okay. Yes. Excellent. It's a song that my son sings in school. That they have to, memorize it when they're in first grade. Okay. And he also knows, from Adam to Noach, also he knows. What? Tzvi? What?
Maybe trying to say make aliyah.
I'll leave that up to you. Okay, so what's the other thing again? So the Rambam explains the bizarre situation that if you're talking about people living well into their hundreds, yes, or multiple hundred years, and then all of a sudden you have Avraham who come on the scene and nobody believes in God. How exactly does that work? Why does nobody believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu at that point? So you can read it yourself. It's kedai to read, and I trust that you guys actually will read it because it's important. And he basically explains how there was this Gilgal, a very terrible Gilgal, of people's perspective. And basically what happened was that people understood that there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there was also the Sarim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or the Galgalim, the celestial beings, the Malachim, the people or the beings that God created in order to help him run the world, so to speak, right? You should know all the Rishonim believed in these celestial beings. Well, if you look at Sarim, if you look at the Ramban, when the Ramban talks about how different lands and different countries have a Malach, which is in charge of them, or a Gilgal, in charge of them, that Eretz Yisrael is unique because it doesn't have anybody, it just has a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Either such way that these things, which are all part of Teva, all part of nature, are God's emissaries, they're God's Shluchim in this world. And what happened was that people understood, well, if we're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and worship him, so to speak, and be makir tov to what he does to us, it also makes sense to be makir tov to those, beings that also help him out, correct? That those, fulfill its will, so to speak. Now, it doesn't sound so crazy when you put it in a certain context. Think about it. If I, Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to hit the river because of it took care of him, right? I mean, there is some notion of a karas hatov, at least to inanimate objects that do good things to you that are shluchim of the Ribono Shalom. Okay. And certainly if you think about it in the context of a business, right? Kaviyachal, you know, or lahavdil, you have a boss, right? And then underneath your boss, you have your manager. So he's above you, so you buy a gift. You buy a gift not just for the boss, but maybe for the manager also. Maybe it's not the same gift. But what ends up happening, obviously, is that people start only focusing on the manager and they forget about the boss who's really running things. That's exactly what happened in the days of Enosh. That's exactly what the Rambam chronicles for us. And meaning it made sense because the Ribono Shalom you can't see. But you can see the sun, you can see the moon, you can see wind, you can see water, you can see all these things. And therefore that's how we ended up with this very pagan polytheistic view of deities in this world. And that's what the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And the, until you get to the end of Halacha Beis, V'aderech zeh haya olam holech u'mezgalgal ha'shanod omud shel olam v'av ravino. It's a beautiful lashon that the Rambam says, the omud ha'olam, the... what's Amar Olam, the pillar of the world, Abramino, and he says, Kivin Shenigma, Isan Zeh, once this, you know, this very strong person, Hiskel Shoti Bedaitu, who cut him, Hiskel Lakshal Biam Vaila, for Timia Ech Efshar Shaya Gilgal, Zenoik Tamid, Vaila Lomanig, Misabi Voso, and the Rambam basically gives us the history of Avram Avinu's philosophical inquiries. And as if he's quoting that Medrash, which he basically does, and says he understood that it couldn't be the sun because the sun isn't always there all the time. And who's running the sun? It can't be the moon. And the Rambam even quotes, which is very, very uncharacteristic of the Rambam, but he quotes the Medrash with Nimrod, where Avrivino, you know, ends up being thrown in the Kivshan Ha'esh because of, you know, his rejection of Avodah Zarah. He doesn't quote it exactly, but more or less he quotes a Medrash, which is very uncharacteristic, but the Rambam does it nonetheless. The Rambam goes on to say how the Avramin, if you look at the next on the line, v'charav svarim v'odiel Yitzchak b'no, he wrote svarim and he taught his son v'yashad yichzum l'am v'mazayim v'yitzchak v'odiel Yaakov, and so on and so forth. And that's basically how we have monotheism coming out into this world. So Avramin is basically the beginning of our journey into understanding what is monotheism, the notion of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it was specifically through his rejection of the status quo, of not understanding how things could be working the way that they were working without somebody really being in charge, that that brought him to believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's a bit of the history about how we got to the place where we needed Avrin to be the Av of Emuna. Okay, source number 5. We go through this. Okay, I mean, they're you know, just, you know, when Avrivino in the Pesukim was actually mentioned in terms of his Amunah, Tzadachar Dibre Me'ila Hayadavar Hashem El Avram B'mechzel Leimor Al Tira Avram Anochi Magin Lecha Eschar V'Arbe Ma'od. Don't worry, I'm going to protect you. V'yomar Avram Adoni Hashem this point, Avraham Avinu does not have Yitzchak. He's not sure what's going to happen. He thinks Eliezer is going to inherit him. Only somebody who comes from you will inherit you. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses it as some form of tzedakah. And if you look at Rashi and the Sfarno, they have different interpretations, but you know, we are a bit stressed for time. But if you look at the Rashi and the Sfarno, they talk about different mefarsha, different perushim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, what does it mean Avinu had a Muna? So one way is that he never asked for a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to actually bring him children despite his advanced age. Some people said that it's, you know, that they're focusing on the fact that according to Teva, it wouldn't have worked that way, or that you didn't want any tzedakah. Either such way, you look at the Mefarshim, there seems to be different interpretations as to what exactly is Avraham Aviner's emunah at this point, but we see at least that he gets the name of Amin Bashem, that he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to stop right here, right now, in terms of our shir on emunah. What's going on again? And we'll pick up next time. And what I really want to discuss with you next time is a really important idea, a really big machlokas about whether emunah is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Machlokas you may be aware of. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Rather, the Rambam and the Bahag, to be more accurate. And the Ramban's defense of the Bahag. That I really want to get into, well, what's the, defending the Rambam from the seeming very knockout punch of the Ramban. So we'll have to do that in Mir Tashem next week. Okay.